Okay, we are on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the top. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Kahana. 7 lines from the top. 102A. I assume we're 1 and 7 lines, so usually. No, this is just waking up somebody who asked me to wake them up at 6 o'clock. But I do provide that service. It's very expensive.
6 o'clock? Guys, a sleepyhead.
Really, one more try, if not.
What is about you? Let's go get an alarm clock. That's Rebbe to do that?
No, he used it.
He said he, not she.
I said someone.
And then he said he, Rebbe.
I don't know. Hello? Okay. Who is that?
75
I'm a rabbi, and I'm a rab. Okay. If Yahweh comes, the Yahimar Cholt in the middle. Our Mishnah said, Mechatchila, we don't use shoes because they're soft leather, and the Gemara is going to explain what the problem is as we go along. But if Eliyahu HaNavi would come and say, you can use shoes. Shimon Lai, we'd listen to him. Ain't Cholt in the sandal, but if he would tell us we can't use sandals, ain't Shimon Lai. We wouldn't listen to him. We've been doing this. This is what people have been doing for the last who knows how many years. And the Yohanavi will not be believed to tell us you can't do it that way. Because the Lashon HaYerushalmi is Minig Mevatu Halacha. The Minig is Mevatu the Halacha. Now, we have to understand what that means. So basically, there's many different shittos in that line of the Yerushalmi, Minig Mevatu Halacha. But the one that pertains to this Gemara the most is if Eliyahu would come and tell us the sandal is not good, he wouldn't be telling us biblically. Because the Torah said, Nala, and Nala includes all the other coverings of the leg, shoes, sandals. If Eliyahu would be coming, he'd be saying, for whatever rabbinic reason, don't use sandals. So we would say, sorry, we've been doing sandals all along. There's absolutely no reason to come along now and say that what we did was wrong, with a new zera of some sort. Therefore, we would stick to our minhag. If he says we can use shoes and we weren't using shoes, so that's adding. It's not saying we were wrong. It's saying we didn't have to restrict it. We could be more lenient. That we would accept. That's the first version. Rabbi Yisrael Amar Kahn Amar Rab, he quoted it differently. He said, So Yahweh would come along and say, you can't use shoes. We would listen to him. Because we don't use shoes on a regular basis for Chalitza. Ain't Chalitza Mesandu, ain't Shimon Lai. Shkwainagu on Mesandu because people are using sandals. May Benayu. Ikulamandi Omar, Minu Lechatchila. There's the Nafkamina is between the two versions of Rav Kahana Marav. Is are you, meaning like this. The first version seems to say, we don't use shoes. If Eliyahu would come and tell us we can use it, we'd accept it. Second version says, we do use shoes. And if Eliyahu would come and tell us not to use it, we would accept it because it's not against the common practice. Most people don't use shoes. We don't say it's wrong, but most people use sandals. But both agree that we would not accept Eliyahu and Avi's word against the common practice. Because that's what we've been doing for the last who knows how many years. And if they're all coming along and telling us we're wrong, we don't accept that. Again, different explanations why that is true. There's a pshat that says, again, this is big machlokes. There's a pshat that says that the Rabbanei Shlom doesn't let Klal Yisrael do things wrong. If everybody is doing something one way, that's correct. If not, it would never have happened. And therefore, if everybody's using sandals, comes along and Eliyahu HaNavi says, no more sandals, we would say, no, you can't do that. Yes.
We are required to listen to the Rabbanim, and clearly I'm going to be higher than any of them. But I don't understand. That's the right thing. So how is it that we say that him or anyone, sorry, this is our custom established? How is that listening to him?
Let me tell you how I understand it. Eliyahu would not be coming along and saying, I am making a new Gzeira. Eliyahu HaNavi would be coming along and saying, it was wrong to do sandals all along. And everybody's been doing sandals. We would say to Eliyahu HaNavi, you cannot come and tell us. Now let me explain something. Eliyahu HaNavi is not coming with the power of Navi. Because in the power of Navi, we say, Lo Bashamayimi. Nevuah doesn't teach us Torah. It's only he's coming with the power of Chachmah. He's coming with Torah, not as a Navi, but as a learned person. Because Eliyahu HaNavi comes in human form, and he can discuss learning like a learned person. Unlike...
Is he one of our Rabbanim when he comes?
He's one of our Rabbanim, correct. Yes. Now, if he would come along and say, I think we should make a new Gzeira, that's a different story. But if he would come along and say, the way it's been going on is wrong... We wouldn't accept it from any Rabbanan. To say that what we've been doing for the last 200 years is wrong, we wouldn't accept from anybody. To say you want to create a new Gzeira because you're afraid of something, that's fine. To say what you're doing is wrong, excuse me, Klal Yisrael has been doing this for 200 years or 300 years, they're not wrong. It's a big difference.
I don't have the knowledge to try to cite a counterexample. Because I would guess that things happened in Europe over a couple hundred years that Rabbanim later came and said, whatever it is, whether it's kashrus or whatever it is, and for the community to ignore that, defy that, and disagree, just seems exactly the opposite of the chain of authority.
I don't know of any examples of what you're talking about. What we do find in history is you have arguments about something. There's a machlokes. And whereas some people used to be meiko, the consensus became not to be meiko, not to be lenient. But to say that what was accepted as a halacha was all of a sudden changed, not changed as a new gzera, but changed retroactively that it was wrong, I don't know of any example that was ever done.
People, well, the minute people do assumptions, some people don't do it.
Everyone did it.
Not everyone does it.
I have no idea what you're just talking about. If I was supposed to understand that it went by me, sorry. I guess I don't dive into the right joke. What am I supposed to say? All I can say is, nobody doesn't make Misha Barams as a rule. They don't make Shabarak because the people that are probably are not interested in making a Shabarak. So they don't make Shabarak. In Yeshiva, we didn't make Shabarak. Except if somebody came as a guest and wanted to give a nice donation to Yeshiva, all of a sudden they did make a Shabarak. Rashi. The most of the rabbi can see no chalzim b'min ol shayman loy. Ain't chalzim b'san do ain't shayman. But the kamer liyohu, im yavi liyohu, the whole kamer liyohu tell liyohu v'lam avay chatzinan, al m'min ol chatzil loy. V'amar loy chatzinan, I'm sorry. Till liyohu comes and tells us we can do it, we don't do it. So we see the chatzil, you don't do a shoe. But if yaitim can see them, yavi liyohu v'yamer, ain't chalzim b'min ol shayman loy. Ain't chalzim b'san do ain't shayman loy. The whole comment will yammer on Elio, ain't chotz in the minnow, as long as he doesn't tell us not to, chotzino the chatchila. Now, let me try to explain this. According to Rabbi Yaitzim's version, let's take him first, even though he's mentioned second. The law was you could use either a sandal or a minnow. But everybody used a sandal. Now, if Elio and Rabbi would come and say, you're not supposed to use a minnow, okay, we made a mistake. But people weren't using it. We weren't saying that everything, something that everybody did till now was wrong. We're saying we thought that was okay. It's not okay. For whatever reason. But if Eliyahu HaNavi would come and say, sandals are no good, that means he would be saying that what we've been doing for who knows how long is wrong. That we don't accept. Klal Yisrael doesn't do things wrong as a Klal Yisrael. Now, according to the first one of the Amar, we weren't using shoes because of rabbinic fear. Eliyahu HaNavi would come and say, don't worry about that rabbinic fear, meaning it doesn't pertain anymore. Fine. Because he wouldn't be saying that what we did was wrong. It's nothing wrong not to use a minhag. So you refrained from using something you could have used. But you didn't do anything wrong. But if he would tell us you can't use a sandal, he would be invalidating chalitzas for who knows how long. And that we can't accept. That seems to be the Gemara's thrust here. Now, they all point out that if the minhag has no basis in halacha in any opinion, then we don't say that minhag is stronger than halacha. But if there's a basis in an opinion, that is enough to say that if Kali has been nayig a certain way, based on one opinion, even though a lot of opinions disagree, but if everybody's doing it, don't change it. That seems to be the message. I'm going to say something, and I'm still thinking if I should say it or not. I probably regret saying it. There's a sefer called Leiv HaEvri. It was written by one of the Gedolim in Hungary named Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger, who later moved to Yerushalayim. He wrote a sefer called Leiv HaEvri, where he explains and elaborates on the tzavah of the Chassam Sefer. Chassam Sefer left over a will. He wrote a sefer explaining everything the Chassam Sefer meant in the words of his will. In there, the Chassam Sefer talks about the importance of keeping minhagim. Remember, the Chassam Sefer lived at the time when reform was beginning to raise its head, and the Chassam Sefer is insisting that nobody break minhagim, because that's how you undermine the underpinnings of halacha. People start saying, this is not important, and this is not important, and this is not important, and by the time you turn around, everything is gone. I once heard a vart from Rabbi Berger's grandfather. Somebody told him, why does the sitter have so many pages before he gets to davening? Like 25 pages before you can get to davening, some Siddurim have. He says, this every generation rips out a page. And the longer it takes to get to Adon Olam, the longer it takes to get to Adon Olam, the better off we are. That's what he said. So that was some Cypher's fear. So in the Leiv HaEvri, he writes the following story. Again, I'm just quoting it where I saw it. It's there. That the Ramah came to Krakow. When he became Rav in Krakow, there was a minig in Krakow that a woman that went to the mikvah, the next morning, the man who was in charge of heating the mikvah, because in those days, it wasn't like you had machinery that did everything. So there was a man there who was in charge of making sure the mikvah operated functionally. He used to go over to the husband of the woman and tell him mazel tov the morning after the lady went to the mikvah. When the Ramah came to Krakow, he was appalled by that minig. What a disgusting thing to go over to the husband and tell him your wife went to the mikvah last night, mazel tov, and he banned the minig. He said, it's disgusting, it's not to be done anymore. A few days later, a man walks over to the guy in charge of the mikvah. He says, why didn't you come over and tell me mazel tov? So the Rav said, we're no longer to do this. It's disgusting. We're no longer to do this. But by the way, your wife didn't go to the mikvah. Because she knew that the Ramah had been mevatel the minhag. And therefore, she didn't feel like going to the mikvah. And there was no way her husband was going to find out or not. And therefore, she didn't go to the mikvah. So the Ramah was very upset. And from then on, he was mekabel to be makshiv every minig. And therefore the Ramah always in Shulchan Aruch quotes v'nagu, 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 v'yashnoigim, v'nagu. He's always concentrating, not always, many, many times in Shulchan Aruch concentrating a minig, because he figured out that you tamper with a minig, you're playing with fire. Again, it's a story. Take it for whatever it's worth. It's printed in the way of Ivry. That's where I read it.
It's a fun thing of fire. The man made me the fire in this.
Okay. You're going to tell me why I'm wrong, but an analogy would be if I would come from the Celtic community that Kitnios no go on. They could tell him.
There was never a go. Not that from now on don't do it. It was never a go. You were wrong all these generations.
Right.
And we could tell him, sorry, we have our place given to set. We've been doing this for hundreds of years. You cannot tell us we were wrong retroactively. No. Now, if he tells us we want to make a new Gzeira, and from now on if we don't want them to eat kidneys, that's fine.
And they would have to work that.
Then they would have to obey, as them telling them a new takana. Why don't we eat kidneys? Because the Rishonim got together and said, don't eat kidneys. The Ashkenazi Rishonim. That's why we complied to that. Right, exactly. They'd lose that on their cholent, on Pesach, and on their rice, but, you know, that's just life. What? So you see, God will be chacham b'benyan. That's pashtas, yes, but you know. Something my writer. No, why should he? He's not a Sephardi. Now, having said that, I will say that if he moved into a Sephardic community and he was the only Ashkenazi there, he can adopt Sephardim and hug him. But he would have to go the whole road route. You can't just do pick and choose. I'll eat rice on Pesach. But what? Exactly. You'll have to change a lot of things. In some ways, Sephardim are more strict than us. They don't eat our glut meat, at least according to the Beis Yosef. They're supposed to have a higher standard. That's why, if you look in certain places, they sell Beis Yosef meat. It's a higher standard, because that's the Beis Yosef standard. If you can become a Sephardi, that's great. If you move to a Sephardi community, you can become a Sephardi. But then you got to keep it all. I wouldn't try the accent so fast, you know, unless you still, you'd probably break your teeth.
In general, if a person comes to a new community, he has to follow the knowledge of that community.
Again, in America, that's not true, because there's no such thing, we're a melting pot. In Europe, that was true. If you move to a new community, you were supposed to adopt them and hug them with a new community. In America, there is no community. Down the line, meaning no, what I meant to say is no homogeneous community. Everybody davens the same nusach, and everybody has the same inhagim. It's not true. You walk down the block, there's three shuls, and they're davening three different nusachos.
20, 30 years ago, I heard Rabbi Hanneman in Baltimore say that there's no inhagim are not so strong anymore.
Because of the fact that we're a melting pot. We're a melting pot. Some daven Sephardi, some daven Ashkenaz, some shake the lulav one way, some shake the lulav the other way.
It's melting pot, we like take on certain
hogim,
I don't even have an example.
Listen, you can always adopt. Chumris, you can always adopt.
I'm sorry?
Chumris, you can always adopt.
When they close off the room for those who are still in the
room. Some are not, but I thought I addressed it here. Maybe I didn't. I addressed it in the other share. In halacha, you're not supposed to have two different hogim in the same show. But that's when a minig was a minig. But today, those who are lenient are saying that we're such a melting pot that some do and some don't, and therefore it's fine. It's not. Meaning this, once upon a time, you had a shul that wore tone, and a shul that didn't wear tone. And therefore, if you came in with a different minig, you're supposed to stay behind the mechitza. But today, we're one melting pot. That's what happens. Melting pot made it that it's not as, the minhagim aren't as strong anymore, because next, your next door neighbor is doing something else.
You wear a shawl, you don't put on shawl.
Not in public, correct. It's a big child, whether you move in private. If you move to Eretz Yisrael, you don't put on shawl and talamite. You go to Eretz Yisrael visiting, it's a big machlokes. Not in public, no. Don't wear shawl in public in Eretz Yisrael, no. No. My father moved to Williamsburg at the end of his life. and he was told to stop wearing tall cholamite. Because in Williamsburg, nobody wears tall cholamite. So he was told to stop. That's Malcolm Shinogu. What?
Afterwards,
he didn't. No, he didn't. But he should, I don't know. That's what he told me. He told me that the Rav told him not to wear tzolom because he lives now in Williamsburg, which is above. Nobody wears tzolom. He was the only one in the whole city. Forget his soul. You wouldn't find a minion of tzolom in the whole city. So, you know, what are you supposed to do? So he was told to stop. Whether he should have been sitting or not, I don't know. But here in Cleveland, it's a mixture. It's a hodgepodge. No, because it's private. That's not a public display. Nobody knows what you're saying. So, again, are you saying it loud? Are you interrupting? No, you're saying it to yourself. The machlokes, your mind holds if you're a shul that says a certain kedusha, you should say the kedusha of the shul. Shlomo Zalman says you can say your own kedusha. But again, it's because it's not a loud thing. But if you go for the Amid, don't daven your nusach if the shul davens a different nusach. In the book of Rav Segal, it says that in his yeshiva, the minig was, the nusach was the one from the Baal Tfilah davens. Again, voucher, I'm just saying what the book says. That means that the Baal Tfilah davens svar, that day they davens svar, if the Baal Tfilah davens Ashkenaz, that day the shul davens, the yeshiva davens Ashkenaz. By Rav Segal in Manchester.
I mean, I've been in a situation where, you know, people are saying Kaddish together. Someone do a different new stuff with the Shiach Rosh.
You should not.
With the people
you're with. You sure you said the Kaddish? That's a public thing. You should say whatever the show says.
The new show wants to start a show join the merger of Ashkenazi show and every other Jew they call them to.
And then, you know, that means they're finding themselves. Now, think about it.
Have you ever had the quota that you've been carrying?
What quota?
No. A line and a half?
I think, okay, I'm not going to say anything. Now, think about it. The one that says you can use a minu l'chatchila, but not our Mishnah says, quotes of a minu chalitzasik sherin, you have it in l'chatchila loy. Doesn't our Mishnah say l'chatchila not? So how can a Namayra say that we use a minu l'chatchila? And for the Gemara, what in l'chatchila? No, our Mishnah does not mean to preclude, to say that you can't use a shul l'chatchila. Why did the boy l'mishnah say, pampilya l'chatzasim psula? Since in the end it wanted to say that with a leather, with a material shoe, it's puzzle. Not so the Eved, it's puzzle. Tananami Reisha the Eved. So therefore the Reisha says that Minnow is kosher. Doesn't say you're allowed to, because it's contrasting your Tampilya, which you're not allowed, even the Eved is puzzle. Rashi? That's right, no Rashi. Talk to Gemara Tanoi. It's a Machlokes Tanoi. Umidol Hatchila Tanoi. But if you use a minhag l'chatchila from machlokes tanoim, the time we learned, I'm Rabbi Yosi Pamachas Halachtil in Netzivim. One time I went to the city of Netzivim, but Sasi Sakin Echad, I found an old person, Amarti Loi, I said to him, Klamata Baki, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, did you know Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? He lived in Netzivim. Amar Lahai, hey, and of course I knew him. Val Shukhani Yitzadir, he was always around my table. Now someone will learn how Shukhani means. He was a money changer, this person. He said he always came to my money changing place. Why? Because it said that tzaddikim don't eat other, they don't constantly eat at somebody's house. They're self-sufficient. And he's saying, Al-Shukhani Hutadir makes it sound like he ate by me all the time. So they learn Al-Shukhani means he used to visit my bank. He was always there, meaning he changed his money by me. I said to him, did you see him do chalitza? Meaning, I'd like to know Hilchos chalitza. I'd like to know Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's opinion. Did you ever watch a chalitza of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? Amali, Reisi Shechalitz, Harbapamim, many times. Beminu and Besandal. So I asked him, did he use a shoe or did he use a sandal? Amali, Bechalitza and Beminu? The person looked at me and said, what? A shoe? Amarti loy. So I said to him, Im kein, my ro remeir loy mechol to the middle chalitzos of shera. So why did Remeir quote that it's kosher, and Reb Yaakov and Mishmai quotes in the middle of the Chatzila, and Reb Yaakov quoted, I'm not sure if it's Remeir or Reb Yudim and Basera, who does he say?
Remeir,
saying it's even kosher the Chatzila, meaning you're dismissing middle to Machoikas.
I'm not following it.
What?
He said what? He asked him, what he didn't ask the question.
He said, no, he said to him, what, you can use a shoe? Like, he looked at him like, what kind of question is that?
Astonished.
Yeah.
Even
the evidence,
you can't use a shoe.
He didn't say that. No, he's not. He said, why would you even necessarily use a shoe? You're not supposed to use a shoe. Again, he asked him, would you even use a minnow or a sandal? He looked at him, he said, what? A minnow? Nobody uses a minnow for chalitza. So he said, I don't know, it seems to be a machlokes tanoim. So I'd like to know, that's why I asked you what Reb Yudah ben Basera does, because it's a machlokes tanoim.
That proves that middle is not allowed to be used?
But the reaction of this person who said, this Zaken Echad, who looked at Reb Yaisi and said, middle tells us that obviously the going thing was that you don't use a minnow. No. It's rabbinic. It's not biblical. Again, the reaction. If I asked you if you use a pen or a pencil, you wouldn't react and say, pencil? It's a legitimate question. Tell me. He only used a pen. But the reaction was,
if you're filling out a voting ballot, and somebody says use a pencil, my reaction would be pencil.
Again, the reaction of whether he used a shoe or a sandal should have been he used one. He didn't say that. He reacted with a way of saying, like, what kind of habit, you know?
The people use their own
shoes. No, yes.
That's the reason.
Again. If you ask him, what did Reb Yudah ben Basera use, A or B, and he looks at you and he says, how dare you even contemplate that he used A? That's saying that you can't use A.
He told the people they had a choice.
Then
the choice was, no choice, he had to
come for
the sandal.
Right.
So this Zaken was a learned person.
Obviously. Yes. He was not Samagai. He was a learned person. Correct. Dr. Rashi. How can you see the lemon? Let me quote him a minute. Let me see now. Tyra Amr Nala v'lemon Nalai. We're not clear with the words that the Tyra eliminated it. Shame minnow cost of a Tyra. Never says the word minnow. Ela Nalai, Goshal Nalcha, Shalavish Nalai. Umashma Bain Sando Bain minnow. The word Nal in the Tyra means both sand or minnow. The minnow Lashon Chachamim, but Nal Lashon Tyra. Vahai Damar minnow Lachatkila Aser. Lav Mikro Yalav. If you didn't learn it from the Pasig, Amashim Zerah. Come on. Vahai Dixiv Raisa. So it does use the word minnow. It doesn't mean shoe. It means a lock. Or a briach is a bolt. So the word there never uses minnow for shoe. So don't make it drush up now for like minnow. There's no word minnow in the Torah. Never take it out, Rashi says. That's why it's in parentheses. Mishmai Dura Meir. Something in my mind. Yes, I'm sorry.
What's not lying? The word
now.
So minnow is not
again
derivative.
Hold on. In that Gemara that had this Girsa, it was Medayek that now means sandal, not shoe, because shoe would be called minnow. And since the Torah said the shofa nalai, not min alai, is a simon that you can't use a shoe. That was the Girsa. In the parentheses, you see those five words? The Zaken was telling him, you can't use a shoe. The Torah says nalai. Nalai doesn't mean a shoe. Min alai means a shoe. So Rashi's saying it's not true. Is it in parentheses?
No, it's in
No. It's in parentheses, not in quotations.
Okay.
And Rashi says, take it out. Because Nawai is the word for shoe. Not Minawai. The Torah always uses now to refer to either sandal or shoe. So you can't tell me Nawai means sandal and Minawai means shoe. The one time the Torah does use Minawai, it's talking about a bolt. Not a shoe.
Is there a
spora?
That's
the custom
that we use the
sandal. It's not a custom. It's exactly what we're saying. There is no Xeris HaKasav. Rashi took it out because there's no such Xeris HaKasav. The word now means shoe or sandal. And you haven't given the Gemara a chance yet. At this point, there was a gears to the Gemara that said it's biblical. Rashi takes that out. It's not biblical.
Okay.
So far.
Can you read the Gemara?
But he goes in the middle? Period. A question mark.
Who's there?
The Zaken says to Rabbi Yossi.
He just said, Amali,
no. No. You didn't put the period in the right place. Rehisi should call it Tarbi Pumim. Period. Question. The sound of the middle. Something about Rabbi Yossi. Umand Amal Chatkila Loim Haitaimam. Why did the Rabbanan say not to use them at all? Look, the Gemara, Elaim, Mishum, David, Pansa, Meow, Barak, Meow, Meow. I'm going to need help here. Is it because it says in the Pasuk she should remove the shoe from on his leg? We dash him with the word Meow, Meow, Veloy, Meow, Meow, not from above the above. So if you want to say that it has to be above his foot, not above the area above his foot. So if you want to say that the reason a minnow is puzzled is because the back of the shoe goes on above the foot, and araxa, which is the laces, go above that. They used to tie the laces above the shoe. And therefore, when she's removing the minnow, she's removing part of that from above the above of his foot. And the Torah wants it exactly above his foot. That would be a reason why a minnow is no good l'chatchila. Right? That would be the reason. Now, a sandal, it seems, that they didn't use that kind of a strap because it was hard leather, and they didn't have to fit it that tightly around the foot because the hard leather kept it on the foot. So they, according to Rashi, had like a slip knot where they could tighten and loosen the sandal instead of having to tie it with straps. So that was the Havamina. So the Havamina is that the reason we don't want you to use a chalitza because it's similar to me'al to me'al. It's like using something that would lead us to believe that the chalitza can be done above the foot. And it's not allowed. So therefore, the Rabbanan said, don't use a minnow because it looks that way because the straps are higher than the back of the shoe. So it's like a double layer up and then up above that, and we don't want that.
We don't want that the actual shoes go higher.
Again, a minnow automatically goes higher because the laces were tied higher than the shoe.
And so that's the problem.
So therefore, it looks like...
Looks like what?
The shoe is above the foot. The back of the shoe goes above the foot.
But it really doesn't, but the laces do.
No, the back of the shoe goes above the foot.
And that's not good?
That's okay. That's me'au rambly. That's okay.
Right.
But the me'au to me'au going above that is a problem.
They have rambly both. But what? Because if you used a sandal, then you wouldn't have me'au? It would be...
A sandal did not need the laces to go higher than the sandal. From Rashi's Mashmah, they didn't really have many laces. They had this slip knot that tightened and loosened the sandal. So they didn't have to have anything above the sandal.
The slip knot was made out of what? Leather or material?
Everything is made out of leather. Nothing is made out of material here.
So what's the Baalbi? I mean, what is that? What is that? What does that mean? What are you trying to get?
The Torah says, "V'cholza minalei me'araglai, cholza nalei me'araglai." Remove the shoe from above his foot.
Okay.
That means the Torah is limiting that the shoe cannot go higher than above his foot. It can't be above of above. Again.
So the sandal.
Sandal doesn't go laces above the shoe. The laces go higher than the shoe.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the other way. Okay, I get it.
And therefore, the Gemara wants to say it's biblical now. This is a biblical problem because it's me'al to me'al. So to Gemara, if that is true, y'all got to live the Evan Lamilai. So then it shouldn't even work with the Evan. That's a biblical problem. And for the Gemara, no. Zerim shumino marupet. Inami mishum chazimino. It's a rabbinic Zerim. People used to wear torn shoes because it was soft leather. And in soft leather, you can tolerate if it's torn. Or they used to wear shoes that didn't cover their whole foot. They only covered part of their foot. Because again, it was soft leather. Sandals were hard leather. Either it fit completely or you didn't wear it. And therefore, the fear was you would be wearing a shoe that's not kosher, it's ripped, or that doesn't cover the whole foot. So therefore, he said, don't use shoes, because shoes are liable or apt to be used when torn or only covering part of the foot. And that's not kosher. So we say no shoes, because in Xeri you might use the wrong shoe. Sandals never are used that way. And therefore, there's no fear by sandals. You'll be using a sandal that doesn't do its job. Rashi. Don't you, Rashi? Panza, gava min of the back of the shoe. Araxa sreichnal, the laces of the shoe. Metargum, this week's parsha. Mechut, no, last week's parsha. Mechut vat sreichnal. So the targum says, araxa de misana, the lace of the shoe. Shekaivlin ritsuas al oiznav. They put straps on its oiznav. What are oiznav?
Ears, the flap.
The flap. And the Havilek Kishnei Na'olim Zagabzeh, the shoe, and the flaps go above the shoe, and you tie the laces around the flaps. So it's like a double layer shoe.
The flaps go above?
That's what it's saying. Or maybe, yeah, that's what it seems to sound. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it means the shoes go above the flaps. Maybe that's what it means.
I mean, the flaps, it seems like that's on the shoe.
Could be.
The picture you sent me from Google, hello?
Again, we're not looking at that because that's the right way of doing it. We're saying what the wrong way of doing it.
He sent me
that was a sandal.
That was a
sandal. That's good.
The
shoe has extra leather. I guess.
I have a sandal. We don't tie straps above the flaps. Shari kashihu. It's hard. Vein ritsuas al kasai. And I don't need a strap to tighten it. I have at the edge a slip knot that I can shorten, tighten it, or loosen it. That's not a problem. Even if the woman be wearing two shoes, it doesn't bother us. See, Rashi is telling you about a Gemara later on. Gemara later on wants to know, the man is wearing two shoes, she rips the bottom one and pulls the top one out. Is that considered chalitza? Because it's still covered by the bottom shoe. So the Gemara is going to deal with that. But if she would remove both shoes, it wouldn't be a problem. So it doesn't bother us if it's a double shoe. So that's not a chsar to me'al to me'al. Maybe I misunderstood it. Maybe the me'al to me'al was that there's a shoe, and then above the shoe you tie the flaps. So it looks like a double layer shoe. Shoe, and then the flaps tied above the shoe. Not higher in the leg, but above the shoe. And the Torah wants you to take the shoe off the leg, not to take a double shoe off. And the Gemara's answer is, it's not true. Dr. Rashi, it's not true. A man can wear double shoes, and that's fine.
It doesn't matter which order they're on. If the minnow was below the sandal, I mean, couldn't you argue saying that he was really...
So that's what I was going to discuss. We'll get there. But at this point, all he's saying, Rashi, is there's no problem of double shoe. I was shavin al tavayu shaper dami merupa mevuka karua mamaylet stripped. The shivin the rochik, since it's soft, I forgot the karua, even though it's ripped. Meisim leakari, a person will wear it on his foot. I will sandal shul kasha, a sandal that's hard. Ein yochol liyashva ragloi, cannot make it comfortable. Mishenifchas when it's missing a piece. The lekula mixer midi. So again, let me re-explain the Gemara. I was wrong the first time. It's not that the straps are tied above the shoe, higher than the shoe. It's that the straps are tied on the flaps. There's a shoe, and the flaps and the tying above the shoe, meaning a double shoe. It looks like two shoes, the shoe and then the flaps and the tying.
Was the top of the shoe folded back down?
Fold up, I thought.
Fold up to secure against the
lip. Right. And therefore, it looks like you're wearing two shoes, the shoe and then the flaps and the laces above that. And the Gemara's answer to that is, that's not a puzzle. You can wear two shoes as long as you take them both off. I had a Gemara later on, is going to have a Shaila. The Gemara's Shaila later on is if you removed one and you left the, you ripped the bottom one, pulled the top one off, and you still left the bottom one off. But if you take both off, there's no problem. But the Gemara, the answer is because we're afraid a shoe might be used ripped, or it might be used when it only covers part of the foot. Whereas the sandal, nobody wears that way. It's uncomfortable, and therefore there's no fear.
Where do we tie our shoes right now? Like the shoes I'm wearing, we wear it with the flap over the tongue, and use laces, but doesn't use leather. Is that what it means?
I think it was more, flaps were more than our flaps.
Is it
we don't really have flaps.
I think you're talking about around the ankle. There's a boot almost, where they have two. In this picture, they have...
Yeah, the picture you're looking at is a good chalitza shoe.
No,
we're trying to say it's not a good chalitza shoe.
The good picture has a strap that goes all around the...
Right, we go higher up, yes.
Above the ankle.
Go higher.
I said it was my mistake. I retaught the Gemara. It's not higher up on the foot. It's higher up. It's a double-layered shoe.
But when Baruch sent me on bad stuff, there's a flap that goes...
Again.
Up the leg.
Behind, yes.
So then? Yeah. And what kind of condition does this have? This
none.
No condition at all?
No.
It's filled with sewers.
It's not filled with sewers. It's leather straps. Same thing you make belts out of. You can whip somebody with them. If your kid doesn't behave, you can slap him with your belt. So you can use those leather straps as well. It's not condition at all.
This is like soft leather to me.
Again, I can't tell you, I don't know.
You put a dry can? The strap on a dry can.
Are socks markers?
I have no idea. Honestly, I don't know how Lachlamai stuff. Anything about Chalitza or Lachlamai. I know they have straps. Trust me, they have straps. Yes. And it's like a big job. She has to use her right hand. Untie the straps, can't use her left hand to help her. She uses her right hand to undo the straps and pull off the shoe. And he can't help her remove the shoe. She has to remove the shoe from his foot. He has to hold the foot against the floor. Now, obviously, he's going to stand there tight. She'll never get it off. So he loosens his hold, and she has to pull it out from under. It's not as simple as it sounds. I mean, it's she has to do it all with one hand. She cannot have... That's how it's done. Everything is done with his right hand. We're learning it out. I think it's learned out.
Can I give a reasonable... What's the symbolism of this?
Now, my usual answer would be, if it doesn't make a difference. However, I did see that early Rishaynim, the Rishaynim, talk about the symbolism of Chalitza and spitting. And I just don't remember exactly what they said.
This is important. This is very important. Can I use my shmoney to buy one of these? I'm not joking around. I think five get one here would be much better.
What?
Oh, for the shear.
Yeah.
You get one for the shear, absolutely. Find Rabbi Groomer.
No, I want to have one for the shear.
You don't want it now, because now we're learning about what's no good. We want to learn after we know what's good.
So if I want to use it, I can do that. Thank you.
So this is what it says. He brings down over here different reasons of why we do. It's very unusual because I always give the answers. We don't have to know the reasons. It's Xeris and Kassav. But he brings down over here from the Chinuch that says that her removing the shoe is like serving him, like an Eved. And that's like showing, I was supposed to serve you as a wife. And then you're not letting me. So I'm spitting to say, you refused my service. I was ready to serve you, to be a Yavama, and you refused my service. So I removed your shoe to show that I was ready to serve you. And she spits to show that you rejected my service. That's how the Chinuch learns it. Others learn, and that is the Beis Yosef. He says, it's like an Avol. Since he doesn't care to be making walk of shame, not interested in preserving his brother's name, right, as a Yibum. So therefore, it's like a mourning on the brother, meaning his brother's name is being lost now. So he's removing his shoe like an Avol. And she spits that, that is, she wasn't interested in Yibum because he was handsome. She wanted to do her husband a favor, and he doesn't want to do it. So she spits to show that this wasn't done for my interest, it was done for my husband's interest, like rejecting the guy. And the third reason brought down is from the Rimi Paris, since he didn't want to do a mitzvah with his body of Yibum, so we take off his shoe to show he's like an Avu, he's missing the mitzvah, and the spit is, he didn't want to use his semen to do the mitzvah, so we use an other liquid that's disgusting to show that you didn't even want to do the mitzvah with your body, bodily fluids, that you could have done. It's like showing he rejected the use of his bodily fluids to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Those are three of the reasons brought down. I was shocked that they give reasons, because I always say over that the Torah said it, whether we understand the reason or not. Yeah. But those are the three reasons.
Don't you always have to look for a reason?
You can look for a reason. That's what they did, obviously. But the reason doesn't drive the halacha. Yes. So those are the three reasons I saw brought down of why chalitza and spitting are done.
Amazing that you don't use a regular modern day shoes for the whatever you use for the what's traditional, you know, of the day. You know, why do they have to find an ancient shoe?
I don't know. By the way, is anybody selling chalitza shoes? Are you willing to buy one for miser money? You're making it sound like it's easily accessible. There's a supply shortage. Because of COVID, they're running behind in the supply of chalitza shoes. Supply chain. Sitting in
a boat in China.
And sitting in San Francisco.
What's it run for?
I will buy one for this year. There's even videos of chalitza.
Absolutely. Yeah?
Maybe we make jokes out of this stuff.
No, not a joke. Brooklyn show.
What is video for?
No, it's good to watch to see what they do.
But now that you're trying to bring down that the Marika is done as a
bad man. Well, it is, in the sense they're saying you didn't use your bodily fluids for good, or you rejected my service. It is in a. Adarava, I think they're saying that.
She spits on the floor, not on his face.
She spits in front of him, correct. Again, today, we're not letting him do Yibum. When the chalitza the way it is, it's like it's reflecting on him and he really didn't have a choice. But the Torah wrote it as the one who didn't want to do Yibum. So the Torah wrote it for that reason.